Chris, you sit down, do some exercises. It's good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. We'll go ahead and read our scripture while you're standing. And turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Many of you will probably be able to quote part of this scripture anyway. It's a very familiar text, or it should be unto us. And I'll just share with you what the Lord's put upon my heart. I want to think about this thought tonight as the Lord will let me preach on this. Let me see, I only have my notes. Well, Chris, you get my message? You don't have it? Okay. I want to talk about when they're raised right but go wrong. So think about that just a minute. There's a whole lot of people in the Bible that were raised right, but they went wrong. And you'll think about this while I'm preaching tonight. Let me tell you, parents tonight, if you're trying your best to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and you've done everything that you humanly can do, I mean, you've set the boundaries, you established curfews, you've done what was required of you, biblically speaking. You brought them to church every time the doors were open, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You've shown yourself faithful. And yet that they then decide that it comes their time to fly. And they fly and they go their own direction. Don't charge that to yourself. And you'll see that in the scriptures tonight. Give them over to God and let God deal with it. And there's been a many of a parent that's laid awake at night waiting for the crunching of the gravel for that son or daughter to come back home. And some of you tonight were that son. Some of y'all were that daughter. And it was your parents that were laying awake at night waiting for you to come home. But here you are tonight. So think about that. When they're raised right but go wrong, what do you do? Let's read our scripture tonight. I won't have you stand for the whole length of reading, but I believe I'll just read one verse tonight. How about that? Just read one verse, that being chapter number 15 of the book of Luke, and then we're going to read verse number 11. The Bible says, a certain man had two sons. Brother Grant, ask God to bless us. Amen. By way of prayer request tonight, we've got two in the hospital tonight. Carrie and Troy had their baby last night about 11:32, and they have a healthy baby boy by the name of Braden Luke Behrens, and he was like 7 pounds and just healthy as he can be, already raising his head up and looking around and just as healthy as he could be. And Miss Carrie's doing well. And then Jamie and Laura, they both are over at the hospital still. Miss Laura had her baby today, and she has Bryson Ford. So you remember that family. Miss Laura is doing well, and also little Bryson is doing well. So Elena Grace and Connor have a little baby brother, and you a great grandma, great great grandma, great 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 grandma. So we'll stop. We don't want to tell how great you really are, because your greatness is far exceeding the whatever I'm getting in trouble with. And then we have a family down at the funeral home tonight. As you well know, Sister Jean Potts passed away. The funeral will be here tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the church. If you are going to participate in the choir, try to be in the choir loft by about 1:45. Miss Debbie will be playing the piano. Miss Joe, if you could come. I've got Brother Greg in the sound room tomorrow. Can be here and try to back up this family. Love on them. Pray for them. Brother Potts is so feeble in his own right. Just pray for him. We're going to need to stay close to Brother Potts for a little while. Just call him up, maybe take him out to eat or something. He likes to eat, and he'll meet you, or he'll actually cook it for you. He'll fry. He said, come up, preacher, and I'll fry you an egg. We've been up there a few times this week, but love on Brother Potts if you can. Their daughter will be going back next Monday over the weekend back up to Virginia where she lives. And then Brother Joe and Miss Peggy and the whole family getting ready to scatter now. They're all going to go back to their homes. and that house is going to get very quiet. But I believe God has prepared Brother Potts for that because he's been without her in the home since September. So just pray for that situation, and let's bless this family with our prayers and help them during their time of loss and bereavement. So tonight, I want you to think about somebody in your own life. Don't know who it might be. It might be yourself. You may be thinking, boy, I was raised right and went wrong. It could be that you've tried your best to raise somebody right, and then they still went wrong. It could be that there's biblical people, and you can find them throughout the scriptures. I asked Brother Chris, I said, Brother Chris, who's somebody that's raised right and went wrong? He said, boy, Samson did. And you can go through the scripture. You'll find out, Brother John, that there were kings that honored God. I mean, they just loved God, and they did right, which was in the sight of God. Brother Tan, they just honored the Lord with their lives, and then they would have a predecessor coming along. That young man would come up, and then unlike their forefathers, they would do evil in the sight of God. And every time that one of those nations that was ruled by a just an upstanding, morally correct, upright of heart, God-fearing king, God prospered the nation. And then all of a sudden, that nation would then be put in charge of a young king. And maybe that young king was rebellious at heart. And then he would go the way of Satan or not follow the precepts of his forefathers. And Brother John, it cost that nation. It's happened every single time that it's recorded in the Word of God. Those people would be blessed as long as they would stay in God's favor, and then they would turn right around, and then they would get a wicked king, and then their God's judgment would become on them again. And I'm seeing that as a nation in America. I see it on families. I see people that were raised in a good godly home. And if you need an illustration, think about the life of the great late Billy Graham. I mean, Billy Graham was a good man. He's got children that love the Lord, but there was one that become a rebel at heart. And if you don't know who it is by now, you probably already do. Brother Jake works for him. He's the founder and director of Samaritan's Purse Ministries. He even had a book written, Rebel with a Cause. But he was rebellious at heart. He was raised right. There is no doubt in my mind that Ruth Graham Bell and Dr. Billy Graham, Brother John, tried their best to raise those same children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They brought them up in the same manner. So how is it that you can have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids in a household, and you've got some of them that honor God and honor mama and honor daddy, but then under that same roof, Brother John, you got somebody over here that's got a little bit of renegade in them, and they decide to rebel, and they go their own way. That's proof positive that every one of us are our own moral agent. We're our own free will. We're going to do what we want to do. And you'll see that in the house of the preacher. You'll see it in the house of the deacon. You'll see it in this house. You'll see it in my house. You'll see it in yours if you're not very, very careful. So I want to preach tonight for just a little while. What do you do when you raise them right, but they still go wrong? And this is going to be more about the father tonight than those two sons. Now, you can look at those sons, and we might even get into that just a little while. You've got one that is so self-absorbed. He's self-centered. He's basically a narcissist. He's all about me, me, me. I want you to give me my inheritance. And that selfish nature of that son, it ended up costing him. And I'm telling you, my friends, if you get so involved with who you are, and nobody around you matters anymore, and everything you think the sun rises and sets, and bless God, it's in your shadow. You're not in its shadow. I'm telling you about, you have got something all backward. You've convoluted the Word of God. And brother, we're not that important, okay? We think we are. We like to think we're somebody. But Brother John, if I fall out in this pulpit tonight, you know what God will do? He'll raise up another pastor tomorrow. I promise you that. If I die at the post office tomorrow of a massive heart attack, guess what? They'll get another postmaster the next day. And that's just the way this thing works. Now, my family's going to miss me eternally. They're going to miss me from now on. Why? Because I'm her daddy. I'm her husband. They're going to miss me forever. So we need to get this thing focused on what's really important. Bless God, you better bring your children and bring your grandchildren. You better help rear this this next generation that's coming up behind us in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because it's important to them to be trained up, according to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22 and verse number 6, in the way that they should go. It's important for us to tell them that God loves them. It's important, Brother Steve, to get right down with Cortera and Miss Willa and tell them, honey, let me tell you, this whole world all around you is messed up. And even as New York went, now Virginia's heading that same direction about killing babies to the the 40th week. It's a crazy world. And you need to be telling them, God loves you, honey, and you are precious in His sight. Well, the little kids sing those songs about being precious in His sight and how He's got the whole world in His hand. You need to remind your kids of that, Brother John. God's still in control of this thing, but we each one act in our own moral free agency. We do what we want to do. Nobody forced you to come to church tonight. Nobody forced you to bring Alexia and Preston. Nobody forced us to do what we do. We're here hopefully and prayerfully because we wanted to be here tonight, because we desired. We had that hunger. We had that passion. We wanted to hear from heaven tonight, so here we are.
Amen.
So what are we going to do with it while we're here? And what are you going to do whenever that little Johnny, that little girl, that little Sue that you love so much, and you brought her to church every time you come, every time that you could, you brought her, and yet she still, or yet he still turned out and started to go the wayward route. What are you going to do then? I want to show you a few things that the Father did in this message tonight. And I want you to see it because it's important to you to keep on. Don't give up on them. Don't stop praying for them, because nobody stopped praying for you. Now, Brother Chris leaned over whenever he saw the title of my message. He's a nosy sort at times. And he said, "What'd that say?" He said, "What's the title of that message again?" And I just flicked it. He said, "I can't read your writing. It's probably by design that you couldn't read it." But Chris said, "So what happens if they were raised wrong and turned out right?" I said, "That's probably a whole lot of us in here. Probably raised wrong. Maybe you didn't have good godly leadership in your household. Maybe somebody didn't get in your court and tell you, 'Brother Steve, the Lord loves you.' Maybe you had to figure this thing out on your own. Maybe you just had to go through life kind of, it was a hit and miss, and then all of a sudden this thing clicked." You could be, Brother Jody back there saying, "Yeah, Brother Jody, we weren't all raised in Brother Feldman's house. We weren't all raised under the same spiritual teaching that other, but guess what? We've all got the same God. And we've all got the same opportunity. Now, what you do with it is up to you." So let's look tonight into the scriptures. The Bible said in that 11th verse that a certain man had two sons. Who is the certain man? In this accounting of this scripture, it's talking about a father. And let me tell you tonight, bless God, we've all got a father. And let me tell you, our Father desires that we do well. Our Father wants us to honor Him. Our Father wants us to love Him. Our Father wants us to look at this book that is in your lap tonight. And look, because this book is exactly, Brother Chris, what we should do and how we should live and how we should raise our children. And it's all right there. It's been said that an acrostic for the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. And I believe that to be the whole thing right there. This is what you need to know. Plus or minus nothing. It's not this plus the Book of Mormon. It's not this plus another book. It is the King James Bible. And bless God, it's in here how to raise your children. It's in there how to bless your marriage. It's in there how to honor God with a church as a pastor. It's in there the relationship between a congregation and their pastor, the congregation and the Lord. But tonight we're looking at this certain man who had two sons. And as we look at this tonight, I want you to think about a few things that this father was found doing. Now, what was this father, John? He was a shepherd, or he was a farmer. He was a keeper of a piece of land. And if you don't understand that, you would have to read the middle verses of this, because when we see him, he had hired servants of his own. Because that son that did take the goods and went out and wasted everything that his father gave him, he comes to himself and he said, "I'm going to go back to my father and say, let me be one of your servants." So Brother Tamat tells us that father had people that was working in his fields. It tells me that he had plenty of livestock, plenty of land. This father was somebody to be reckoned with. Why? Because he was a man of great stature in his day. Can you find anybody greater stature than our God? I don't think so. And what's he got? He's got a vineyard. He's got a field. And who's gleaning in that field right now but us? Who's laboring in the vineyard? Right now it's us. This is our generation. It's our time to work. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to waste what God has got and what God has given? Are we going to honor him with it and bless others with that? There's a man that did something for me just a little while back, and he said to this effect, he said, "I can't take it with me." And then that just made so much sense to me in what he said next. He said, "The only thing I can take with me is what I give away." And he did something really big for me, and it was a blessing unto me, and he just simply made that statement, "I can't take it with me." But he didn't stop there. And then we said, "But the only thing I'm taking, preacher, is what I give away." And I thought, man, what a good good way to look at this thing. And I'm asking myself, what are we giving away? What are we doing? And what are we doing? Are we charging it to somebody? Say, no, you stay right here with it. You stay right by the stuff. Don't take this. That's not what God does. God gives it to us, and then it's up to us what we do with it. It just so happened that the younger son, he gathered it all together, and there he went down the life of sin, down a wrong road, and bless God, he was raised right. There's no doubt in my mind this daddy loved him, and if you're reading the whole story, you'll find out that his father, he was a faithful father. He was honorable father. He was a fair father, Brother Tim, because the Bible said he divided unto them. I mean, he evenly parted the way. To the son that stayed, he got the goods. To the son that left, he got the same measure. And that father was a faithful father, but he was also very fair in his dealings. And I find tonight that that's what he is. You say, well, I look at Chris or I look at John, and maybe they're blessed more than I am. God gives every single one of us what we're capable of handling. We're not all going to be millionaires. It might change me, Brother John, to have a great big sum of money humped and lumped in my lap. It might change me, and it might change you if that happened. But bless God, God gives us each one according to his riches in glory, according to our need, and that's what he does. So what you do with it is up to you. So let's look at this. What did the father do? I'll tell you what he didn't do, and then we'll get to what he did do. He did not quit. So don't quit. You say, but my son left, my daughter left. Don't quit. Look into the scriptures, you're going to see it. It's intermingled into this, whether you believe it to be a true story or whether you believe it to be a parable. That's up to you for the reading. There's no names given in this. And a lot of times it's been said that if there's no names given, the Lord would probably just given you a parable. I tell you what, he wasn't a liar. So if he told you the truth, the story, the truth is in the story because it was coming from the lips of our Lord and Savior. But let me just say this tonight. This man did not quit. He kept on doing what he had always done. And you're going to find out in verse number 17, the Bible said that that younger son, he came to himself and he starts to thinking, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So who's he talking about? Who's he thinking about? He's thinking about those hired servants. Brother John, the main thing was right there in this whole passage, right in this particular part, was that that father, he kept tending the fields. He kept mending the sheep. He kept doing what he always had done. And that's why it's important for you, daddies. That's why it's important for you, mama. Don't give up on your kids. You keep going to church. You keep reading the Word of God. Keep praying. Keep studying. Keep fasting. If you're a faster, keep fasting. Keep doing what God's got for you to do because there's somebody out there that may be on the edge of disaster. And bless God, they just might reach, God just might reach them through your prayers that son would come to himself, that daughter would come to themselves and say, I will arise and I will go back to the Father. And whenever they come back to you, bless God, let them find you working. Let them find you not giving up. Let them find you still on your knees of praying. Let them find you still in here a Sunday morning, Sunday night, still honoring God. Don't get mad at God. Get puffed up on God just because one of your children or somebody that you care so deeply about decides to abscond and run their own way. Don't do that. Don't give up. Let them find you like the Father, still working, still laying in there, still laboring, still doing the things that you would have been called to do. Let them find you like this old man that's probably propped up on a fence somewhere, watching. Brother Chris, this man, this certain man, the Bible said a certain man, verse number 11, had two sons. This certain man, Brother Tim, I believe went out at a certain time. And I believe he propped up, Brother John. I believe he may have given the daily orders. Okay, you've got the back 40. I want you to go take care of that. And then I want you, you've got to get those sheep from this field under that field. You remember, Brother John, it was a time, what would they do? They would let the land rest. We want you to move them from here because we're going to let rest that land. We're going to take a sabbat. We're going to let that be the sabbatical of that land. Your job for the next month is to move that herd from here over to yonder because we're going to rest that field. And then he might go to another man and said, I want you to do this. I want you to go break up the fallow ground down here because we're going to plant some wheat. And don't stop until it's done. I believe the father's still laboring in the field. And you say, well, how's that relate to today? He might have said, you keep driving the van. You keep teaching the Sunday school. You keep preaching the word. You keep laboring in there. You keep praying. You keep singing. You keep doing this. Why? Because it's going to come a time. It's going to be important that you to find you still doing what I've got you to do. But I believe in the midst of him directing the traffic on his land, calling the shots on the farm, calling the shots among the flocks and the herds that he would have had, Brother John, I believe he had an appointed time that he went out there to his fence. And he just kind of watched. He said, what was he looking for? I believe he was looking in the same direction that the sun left. And I think he was looking at about the same time that the sun left. And Brother Grant, I just believe that he knew in his heart that at a certain time that sun would come back. I believe that. This father was a faithful man, and he understood what it meant to honor God. So what's he do, Brother John? He's out there looking. He's out there watching. He's out there waiting. Now, waiting, I told you Sunday, it's not the easiest thing that any of us have ever done, especially whenever you don't know what the outcome's going to be. But is that not where faith comes in? When you're waiting, is that not where faith comes in? I believe that it is, Brother Steve. But the Bible says that sometimes the tribulation is the trying of our patience, and it works that way. But out here, he's no doubt in my mind, he's sitting there maybe thinking, man, I hope that boy's safe. Lord, would you just take care of him? Lord, he's out of my hands and he's in yours. How many times has mama, how many times has daddy, how many times have you had to say, Lord, they're out of my hands. They're in yours now. Watch over them. Keep them. I trust that you're going to take care of them. Let's look at the two sons just very briefly. I'm looking more at the father rather than the sons tonight, but I do want you to look at these two sons. The first one's got the attitude and the self-centered nature of a gimme, gimme, gimme. And you'll find him out there in verse number 12, just as selfish as you could be. In verse number 12, it says that the younger said, what his younger son said to the father, what did he say? He said, give me. So you'll see the selfish nature of him. And then verse number 13, you're going to see this. The selfish nature turns into an outright blatant sinner at heart. Because the latter part of verse number 13 says that he wasted his substance with riotous living. So the self-centered person that he was took him right down to a life of sin. And then he just went from a selfish son into a downright sinner. And I want you to look in verse number 14. The Bible said he liked to have starved to death. Because there he was. The Bible said he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And he began to be in want. Think about that just a minute. I'm telling you, Brother John, you get away from God, you get away from your Heavenly Father, and the next thing you know, Brother Steve, you'll start getting a little bit hungry. And if you don't start getting a little bit hungry, Brother John, there's something wrong inside of you. Now, this son was still a son. At no point was he ever not a son. But here he is out there now living off of the mess of the world. Brother Grant, he started to get us a little bit hungry. I think Miss Cindy did a devotion here on Monday night for some of the ladies that come, and it was on spiritual fitness. It would do us all a lot of good to get into our spiritual fitness closet and start working out spiritually speaking. Why? Because Brother John, you're no match for the devil. I'm no match for the devil. And we've got somebody, be it a young Macy, be it a young Mara, be it a young Preston or Alexia, that's looking up to us to see if we're going to be steadfast in what we're saying and what we're doing. And then whenever we do, Brother Tam, we have to keep being steadfast. Don't be wishy-washy. Got a couple families right here. I'm not calling anybody out tonight, but you even asked me about one of those families because you were concerned in prayer not long ago. Where are they at? Where have they been? I don't know where they're at. How come they don't return calls? How come people don't? Hey, I don't know. People come, they go. Why do they join the church? They say they love the church. Brother John, why would you join a church? Say, I love this church. And then come in here and move your letter here and then get in here and start working and laboring and coming to Sunday school and everything. And then all of a sudden the FBI can't find them again. Something's wrong somewhere. I don't care who you are. There's a problem somewhere. If there's not a hunger in there, it makes me wonder what their appetite is being whet on. Something's satisfying you, but I'm afraid that the satisfaction is to the flesh rather than to the spiritual man, the soul of man. So look at this. Keep going down through here. This kid liked to have starved to death about verse number 14. But along 18, 19 down through there, he becomes very sorrowful because he says, I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven. And before then, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And I want you to see, this son is not beyond the reach of the father. Because daddy's prayers are starting to reach through to him now. And he said, I'm going to go back home. Brother John, have you ever got away from God just a little while and man, you start to think about how good that it used to be? Well, I do. Brother Keepy, I'm telling you what, I praised God before. I've been shouting ground before. And then man, just a little while later, it felt like I was in the driest dust bowl of the world. just dry, barren. I can't hear from heaven. Can't pray. Don't seem like I can get a prayer through. And then I wondered, Brother John, you know what? It wasn't God.
That's right.
Because God didn't change.
Amen.
The Lord didn't change. So, Brother Lewis, where's the variable in all this? It has to be me. It has to be my own spiritual condition. And, Bishop, I've got to get along with God and say, Lord, it's me. And I need some help. And then I arise and come to myself and say, I'll go back to the Father. And then there he is, just like he always is. So you're looking at the selfish son. If you jump fast forward over to about verse number 24 down through 32, you're going to find the other son. Stubborn hearted, mad. In verse number 28, you'll see where it says he was angry and he's mad. He's moody. Brother John, he's mouthy. Any of y'all ever had a mouthy teenager? How many of you ever swelled that mouth shut? I'm telling you what, my mom would spin the, oh. She would spin my head like a lid on a pickle jar. You say you're condoning smacking your children in the face. I'm just telling you what worked for me. Not that I did it, but I was a partaker and a recipient of it. Your ears still ringing. Why are you laughing then? You probably got yours popped too. That's why you've got hearing aids. See, I've got hearing aids too. Stubborn, rebellious. This son is moody, and look, do you not think that he's mouthy? If you don't think that, you're not reading the scripture wrong. Look what it says in verse number 28. It said that he was angry and would not go in, therefore came out. His father came out and entreated him and answered to his father and said, lo, these many years did I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time. And you never give me a kid. You never did this for me. Look at him. He's pouty. He's moody. He's mouthy. He's fussing back at his daddy. How many times you ever got mad at God over something because God prospered somebody else and you felt like you didn't get in on that cut of the blessing? Let me tell you, God's no respecter of person. He loves us all equally. I bless God. We're all blessed beyond what we ever deserved. If you got what you deserved, Brother Chris, you'd be in hell today with a broke back with all the infirmities that you've ever had at the singular time, and it'd be there in that account. But God loves us, and in his infinite mercy, he still loved us even whenever we got that way. He surely did, that stubborn old punk of a kid. You say, well, he didn't go waste his substance with riotous living. He didn't go laying with harlots. He was still a sinner. He still got a problem because he's separated from the Father. You said he ain't separated. Yeah, he is. They're in there killed the fatted calf, having a feast. That youngin' out there can smell the roast. He can smell it. He can hear the music because it's spelled funny in your Bible. It's got a K on the end of it. He can hear the music. He hears the festivities. But yet he's out there like this. I cannot believe that he has took that rascal back in after I stayed here. And I've been here the whole time. And yet here he coming back. No doubt in his mind, he's got a little covetous heart. No doubt in my mind, he's got a little bit of jealousy in him. Probably thinking that son, that he got his portion, he went and wasted it, and now he's come back to get part of mine. Who do you think he is? Let me tell you what, Father owns it all. Your Heavenly Father owns it all. My Heavenly Father owns it all. So this certain man, I'm going to get back over here talking about the man. So the question remains, what do you do when you raise them right and then they go wrong? Don't stop loving them. Please, don't stop loving them. You said, I'm changing the locks on the doors. They're not getting back in here. Brother John, what are we going to do whenever God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? And Brother Kippy, we take that love of an almighty God, and then we go out here, Brother John, and we cast our pearls before swine, and we take the blood of his son and trample it under our feet. Does he change the lock on heaven's door? Did he finally shut it up and say, here, I'm done with him? No, bless God, he loves us through it all. He does love us through it all. He never stops loving us. Is he disappointed with us? You better believe he is. Will he chasten those that are his? You better believe he will. And he will bring you back safely into the fold. And I'm thankful for that chastisement. I'm thankful for it. It reminds me that I'm his. Well, he never whooped me and I run off. Well, check up. Just check up. So what are you going to do? Don't quit loving them. You say, well, they're still under my roof, preacher. They ain't left yet. Don't stop loving them. Chris, just keep on keeping on. Don't stop leading them. Well, they won't come anymore. You know, we've got people in this very church that let their 16-year-old child, I almost give away the sex of the youngin', and I don't want to do that. They got their 16-year-old youngin' determined if they were going to go to this church or go to another. Brother, you got a problem if you're letting a 16-year-old youngin' call the shots in your house. You said, well, a 16-year-old's old enough to drive. Bless God, he's still a child. He's still a youngin'. You're still going to be bringing him. Don't stop loving him, but don't stop leading them. Lead them straight to the place where the blessings are at. Lead them straight to where the pure word of God is still taught and preached. Well, I might lead them down here, but I'm not going to make them participate. They can sit there on like a knot on a log. Well, good. That's how you sit there. And if that's how you sit there, that's how they'll sit there. And the next thing you know, Brother John, the whole family will be out of church. And they'll wonder where in the world we went wrong. I tell you where you went wrong. You stop leading them. You won't stop loving them, not if they're yours, but you might stop leading them in the ways of righteousness. But what are you going to do when you raise them right and they still go wrong? Keep on working. Keep on watching, keep on waiting, keep on loving, keep on leading. Brother Chris, and never stop learning what the precepts of this book tell us to do. Why? Because once in a while, I don't know, I've never been gold mining, I've never been cadaver diving. But I've never been cavern diving. I've never been down to the heart of the earth to try to take a pickaxe and get into a vein of quartz and see if there's any nuggets in there. But Brother John, that's exactly what happens when you get into this blessed tear-stained book. Look at this thing. This thing looks like it's been dipped in ink. I love that. Kippy, sometimes it's like it's written in another language. I open it up, man. It's just, Brother John, I might as well just close it because it's just nothing really jumping off the page at me. But what do? Brother Tammy, you don't quit learning. You don't quit reading. You don't stop reading. You don't quit reading it. Get back in there. Do you think that the gold miners and those cadaver diggers, do you think, Brother Tam, that because they didn't find a nugget the first time they went, they said, well, bring up the rigs. We've struck out. We didn't get anything. No, Brother Chris, what that is, send me down another stick of dynamite. Run another set of rails back in here so we can get that little cart a little bit deeper back in here. What'd they do, Brother John? Fire in the hole. Boom. Go in there and haul that out and say, look what we just found. We just struck it rich. Sometimes you'll get in there just a little bit deeper and you'll strike a vein. And the next thing you know, you found that nugget that you've been searching for. But just because you don't find it immediately, don't stop. Just because your little child runs off or becomes rebellious, don't stop. Keep on working. Keep on waiting. Keep on watching. Keep on, Brother Tam, loving, learning, all the things that I'm preaching about tonight. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Brother Lewis, when you raise them right? And they go wrong. I tell you what you're going to do. Look what the Father did. I'm going back in here to verse number 23. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. So what are you going to do? You're going to prepare now for what's going to take place down there. You ever heard anybody taking an umbrella, Brother Tam, praying for rain? If you're going to pray for rain, take you an umbrella. Why? You got to have that measure of faith. I've heard people, and I've probably done it myself. Lord, help me if I'm guilty, but come up and pray for something. Lord, I wish that you'd bring John down to this altar tonight. Lord, I invited him, and he's here tonight, Lord, but I can't bring him down here. Lord, would you draw John into this altar of repentance? Lord, would you bring John down here? Lord, bring Steve with him. Lord, they're just 4 feet away from meeting you. They're 4 feet away from what you need to give them. Lord, they're only 4 feet away. Then get up and say, about like I figured. Just like I thought. They're still sitting there like a knot on a log. I had no faith. I wasn't looking for you. Why? Because I already had doubt in my heart that you ain't going to come. But if you raise them right and you turn them loose, Brother Jody, you're one that I could use you tonight as a picture of the one that was probably raised wrong but turned out right. That's almost on the reversal. But then again, you might have been raised right and you just got that old streak of rebellion in you. But I'm telling you what, God didn't give up on you. God didn't give up on you, or he didn't give up on you, Robbie. Don't give up on Chris. Don't give up on Catherine. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your grandbabies. I know they're a burden on your heart. Don't give up on them. Just keep on keeping on. Keep watching, waiting, praying, working, doing the things that you know to do. So tonight, Brother Chris, we come full circle. Are you guilty of giving up on something that you had your heart so set on? Do you stop short of your goals? Do you quit, Brother Tam, right whenever it's getting ready to happen? And then you say, well, I'm just going to throw in the towel. It didn't work. I'm just going to quit. My friends, when you do that, you're shortchanging your Savior because God is able. But I didn't see it coming. I don't understand how it's all going to work out. I might not understand how it's all going to work out. I guarantee you, if you look down through the pages of your history, of your life, did you see yourself preaching? Did you see yourself doing this? Your mama might have prayed for it to happen. Your daddy might have thought, well, he's going to make something great out of himself. God knew what was going to happen. And I'm glad that there was somebody that didn't give up on Mark. I'm glad that there's somebody that stayed in there, stayed the course, kept watching, kept working, kept waiting, kept looking, and kept loving, and kept taking me and leading me and helping me, Brother John, to learn what really matters in this life. So tonight I'm going to close this thing out. Brother Scott, where are you at? Brother Scott, come on up here. Macy, come over. Or Miss Debbie, whichever one of you is going to play tonight. So the question remains, what are you going to do when you've raised them right and they turn out wrong? Stay the course. I really don't have an illustration in my own life to give you on this because, thank the Lord, both of my daughters honored God. And that's a testimony of God. It ain't a testimony of us. I feel like we did our part by taking them to church and loving the Lord in front of them. But had one of them gone out there, Brother Tim, I would be just like you or you or you or anybody else who has a loved one that has gone to that direction. I would be broken. Honestly, I would, but I tell you what, Jen, honey, I wouldn't quit praying. I would not quit. Don't give up. Because I'd hate to go to my grave thinking, well, I threw the towel in. I give up on her. I give up on him. So what are you going to do? Are you going to just give up on him? Or are you going to keep on bringing him before the Lord? You say, well, your wife sure goes up there to that altar a lot. She's got a burden on her heart. And I don't want her to give up on her burden. I don't want her to give up on that burden. She's got somebody that's very dear to her heart that if they don't get saved by God's grace, there's a good chance they're going to go to hell. You say, well, if she's prayed and left it in the Lord's hands, it's up to God now. It is. But does she just quit praying? Does she just say, okay, God, I've given it to you. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm never going to talk to you about it again. I'm never going to try my part. No, she's going to keep on doing what she knows to do. And that's what the Father did in this whole story right here. The Father kept watching. He kept plowing the fields. He kept tending the sheep. He kept doing everything that he knew to do. And Brother Tim, he put that calf up. He didn't say, go get one of those calves. Brother Kippy, what'd he say? He said, get the fatted one. What is the fatted one? That's the one that we put up when the younger son left. Why would you put a calf? Why would you put up a goat or a kid or what is it, the fatted calf? Why would you put one of them things up? Amen. He knew that that youngin was coming home. And here he comes. I see him out there. We're close. As you stand to your feet, I see him out there, Brother Tam. I believe every day that his heart was just kind of melted in his chest. And I see him out there looking. As far as the natural eye can see, he sees. Maybe Brother John, he saw that tuft of raggedy blonde hair. Maybe it's all mangled and unkept. I mean, he's just a mess. Is that him? Brother John, as soon as he was within distance to know that that was him, did he just say, I'm going to go back in the house? No. The Bible said he ran to him. What did he do? He said, don't get none of that stink on me. You've been down there in them pig pens feeding them swine? No, Brother John, he just run up to him.
Amen, Pastor.
Just give him a big old bear hug.
Amen, Pastor.
And it was almost immediately
Amen.
That he started barking out commands. Hey!
Get around. robe.
Get me a robe.
Get a ring.
Give me the best robe.
Amen.
Give me some shoes for his feet.
Amen.
Bring that ring out here. Hey, you, go get the fatted calf.
That's right.
This, my son, was lost and has now come back home. Aren't you glad for that? When you've raised them right and they go wrong, keep looking as we sing.